playing a pattern, and here's the pattern. Civilization is a living organism, an animal. And by its definition, it's going to evolve in the same characteristic way that animals evolved. So there's a part we went from, let's say, fish, amphibians, reptiles, birds, and mammals. The fish phase was when human civilization, earliest phase, mariculture. They lived at the sea. They had to live at the water. They couldn't live without water. They were stuck to wherever the water was. Agriculture was the amphibian phase. Why? They took the water with them on the land so they could go deep into the land, penetrate in the land, get the water, grow all the stuff, and live because you needed the water. Okay, the reptile stage, reptiles are the only animals that were first designed for land. They're almost like machines. They're almost mechanical. Like when you see a lizard, like it's almost digital the way it moves. The reptiles were the equivalent of the industrial age. That's when we became reptilian. And it's interesting because we're still in that age. And guess what? We're fueling this civilization with what they call the blood of the dinosaur. We're fueling it with oil, which is the character of that reptilian phase. And so we're living a reptilian phase of civilization. The lizards were like mom and pop shops, but they grew into dinosaurs, which were corporations. And the corporations evolved. And then here comes the cool part. The bird phase of human civilization started in 1903 when Wilbur and Orville Wright started to fly. It changed the whole world because now you can fly around in a few hours. It changed. The world was so massive at one point nobody could imagine it. Now we can fly around it and put a satellite around it. And I say, so the birds evolved from 1903, but guess what? They reached their fullest evolution in 1969. 1969, the birds landed on the moon and they took a picture of the Earth. And those hippies back then saw this picture and created Earth Day within a month or two of the picture coming back, number one. Number two, they said, oh man, look at that. We got to take care of that. That's all we have. Got to take care of the water, the air, take care of the kids and all that. Taking care is the character called nurturing. Nurturing is the character of mammals. So in 1969, the mammalian phase of human civilization was seeded with the hippies looking and saying, oh my God, take care of each other, take care of the planet, we generation. That's what it was all about. But then go back in history and recognize when the mammals first evolved, the dinosaurs were still here too. And the dinosaurs were, you know, the big killer things, and the mammals were the little meek furry guys, right? And the fact is, they talk about the meek taking over the earth. Well, we're in that transition. The dinosaur is falling.
We're going to stay here all night if we have to, so let's get started.
Can I go when this starts to suck?
Suicide is a suicide. Suicide is a suicide. Suicide is a suicide.
Flashy words make the world turn, but it don't turn right. Say what? Flashy words make the world turn, but it don't turn right.
Say what?
So I use these realize to realize the realize being spoken but not heard, cause we are more fascinated by that which are fabricated.
Say what?
The iconoclastic tactless tactician aims tongue, spits truth, words like wrecking balls bounce off brains, cause nobody likes to hear what's going on these days. It's like the truth hurts, and we've been lied to, a bunch of hollowed minds living on borrowed times, and nobody likes to hear that, and nobody likes to say it either, cause lazy angels never carry their wings, and wingless words do nothing but keep us down. So this New York poet yells, there is no satisfaction in knowing that your life is one of the saddest fictions ever written. So take your not-so-satisfactory life back to the sadness factory to be reworked and to be rewritten and to be reconfigured to live right. Open your brain, let your heart go. The real you's been locked within your rib cage for too long, and stop trying to hold on to them, because that's why it all started. And about that same time, he forgot fun, she lost hope, and now we can't find anything. And I swear to God, if I could swear to God, I'd ask her, what the fuck was she thinking when she gave us free will? Because we don't fuck things up, because kids don't play and God don't pray, because it's out of her hands now. See, I've rewritten the Bible after getting over the primal rage of finding my name disguised within a Bible's page, and people trying to dissect my destiny will find that words somehow make the world turn, but it really doesn't turn right. And suddenly the world starts spinning because words weren't good enough. So I tell you, a blind man once told me the true meaning of love at first sight. So I closed my eyes and I recited this poem to an audience of one and found total gratification in my undivided attention. And when I opened my eyes, I found myself standing before a mirror, staring into the eyes of an invisible man until my pupils became pupils and I could teach myself to live a better life. Words. Words. From a peace of mind brings peace of mind. All I gotta do is give a peace of mind. Or in other words, piece together the pieces in me to create peace within me. But this shit are all pieces. Pieces to a puzzle when it's put together is me. So let me tell you something. Don't ever do anything you're not supposed to. And speak only when spoken to. And don't speak unless you mean. Because a good man is hard to find. And a hard man is good to find. And I'm half the man I used to be and one-fourth the person I should be or could be because I sacrificed freedom for stardom after being out of my freedom without a condom. Now, how dumb was I? Words. Break these words down to the syllables. They all are the silly bulls they represent. And what do I represent? Well, it's hard to say when my represents the fact I have to question myself or each time that question represents itself. I can. Therefore, I am. And sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will always teach you.
However, your committee will continue to investigate and hopes to present a definite recommendation at next month's meeting of the Civic Association.
Thank you, Mr. Hanson.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman. Mr. Willis.
I want to talk about, I think we need a playground here on the west side. We need it because we need a place for our boys and girls to play. A playground.
Mr. Willis has an important idea to express, but he lacks the vocabulary to express it. Finding the exact words to fit your ideas is one of the first steps in building your vocabulary. People can be interested in new ideas when those ideas are expressed in well-selected words. This use of exact words to communicate your ideas applies to written words as much as to spoken words.
Hi, Dad. Would you be interested in... Oh, what's the matter?
Oh, nothing.
Something go wrong at the meeting?
Yes. I sort of made a...
What's on your mind, son? I thought you might like to read my term paper before I hand it in tomorrow.
Well, yes, of course. Our public parks, monuments, or playgrounds.
Huh?
Much of the juvenile delinquency in our community can be traced to our lack of public playgrounds and our lack of a planned recreational program. We are not without our public parks, but they are landscape monuments rather than playgrounds planned for the direction of youthful energy into character-building channels. Why, Pete, you express your ideas very well. But this isn't the way you talk, is it?
Well, that depends. But you see, this is a term paper, and, well, as I understand it, when you're talking or writing, you use words that fit the occasion.
But here, the words you use, they sound good, and they seem to be the right words to say what you mean.
Adjectives on the typewriter, he moves his words like a prize fighter. The frenzied pace of the mind inside the cell. The man on the street might just as well be. The man on the street might just as well. The man on the street might just as well be. Steel eye, tight jaw, say it all, but the white paint, plastic saints, say it all, 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 say somebody. I'm so nervous, I'm so tense. hot and my breath comes fast. I thumb the cool blade, but I know this can't last. I thumb the cool blade, but I know this can't last. Steel eye, tight jaw, sit out, sit out. But the white paint, plastic saints, sit out, 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 sit out. Say somebody got to sit out. Somebody got to say it all. Yeah, adjectives on the typewriter. He moves his words like a prize fighter. The frenzied pace of the mind inside the cell. The man on the street might just as well be. The man on the street might just as well. The man on the street might just as well be.
Where'd you learn all those words?
Well, you see, I keep a vocabulary notebook. It's a good way to learn new words to increase your vocabulary, so you can express your ideas better. Whenever I come across a new word, reading or listening to someone, I write it down. Later, I put it in this notebook.
Let's see.
I write down the pronunciation and the definitions of each word, and then some synonyms. But then, of course, I try using the word. Using the word correctly a few times is what really fixes it in your vocabulary. And a good working vocabulary helps you to be more explicit.
Well, you certainly surprised me with your vocabulary. Yes, indeed. Be more explicit.
So Mr. Willis began a vocabulary notebook in a business-like way. First, he considered the context in which the word was used.
Now, where did I hear that? From Mary. She was talking about redecorating this room.
Dear, I think we ought to put a valance over the window. It would make it more dramatic. Don't you think a valance would be effective?
Valance must be some kind of decoration. But do I have to bother with all these special words? Maybe I'd better. I certainly want to have a say in how the house is decorated. Ah, valance, short curtain, as the valance over the top of a window. A valance would look good up there. Maybe this will help me understand what Mary's talking about.
Valance had only a single meaning. Other words, like vacillate, have many meanings. The only way to tell which meaning is intended is from the context in which it is used.
Synonyms, fluctuate, waver, oscillate, wait a minute. Too many words mean nearly the same thing, but still they're different. Nobody can learn all those words. I'm going to bed.
But next morning, Mr. Willis found he couldn't escape unfamiliar words when his wife called.
Oh, John!
Yes, dear?
Will you stop at the library and get me that anthology of plays?
All right, dear. Anthology. Why does everybody in this family use these fancy words?
Did you realize?
morning newspaper, he found words that looked familiar enough, yet when he studied them, their meanings weren't explicit. Even in his work, he began to be aware that he used words that he could not define precisely.
That it is not feasible to allocate necessary production facilities. Feasible. Allocate.
Excuse me, Mr. Willis. There's a gentleman here from the ABC Printing Company. He wants to discuss their new electrotyping process with variable type fonts. I'll tell him you're busy to come back later.
Allocate.
Anthology.
Feasible.
Ultimatum.
Electrotyping.
Allocate.
Feasible.
Ultimatum.
Electrotyping.
Allocate.
Anthology.
Feasible.
Ultimatum.
Allocate.
Feasible.
Ultimatum.
Allocate.
Feasible.
Explicit. You know, Dad. Explicit. A good working vocabulary helps you to be more explicit.
I need this. Anthology. An anthology of modern plays. This is the book Mary wanted. Oh-ho. So that's what an anthology is. A collection. Now what else came of my trip to the library?
Each of us has certain interests which we need to share with others. If we know the special vocabulary, we will understand what people are talking about, and other people will understand us. This book will help Mr. Willis have a say in the decoration of his home. This book, on the fundamentals of printing, will help him in the conduct of his business. Books on special interest subjects help us build the vocabulary we need to talk the language of others.
And that's not the only language I'm going to talk. At the next meeting of the Civic Association, I'm going to sell my idea, or my name isn't Willis.
Recognizes Mr. Willis.
Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, for many years now, our city council has wavered between a policy of no parks and beautiful but useless parks. The time has come to present the council
with an ultimatum. An ultimatum demanding for the West Side.
Yes, people can be interested in new ideas when those ideas are expressed clearly and effectively. Increased knowledge of words has enabled Mr. Willis to think through his ideas more logically and to present them more effectively to an appreciative audience.
Show them that it is feasible, that the city budget is nothing more or less than a plan for spending our money, a plan which can and must be adapted to meet our needs.
Words that we choose carefully to say what we mean, choose for the audience and the occasion, help us gain support for our ideas. And not only in speaking, effective use of words helps us think and write more forcefully and with more interest when we prepare term papers and other school assignments. Command of words helps us contribute to debates and discussions. We communicate more quickly and more effectively. Being skilled in the use of words aids us in selling ourselves when we look for jobs. Whenever we're around people, a good vocabulary helps us say what we mean and understand what others mean. Pete has developed his skill in communication through words, just as Mr. Willis has, just as you can, by being alert to words, by using words that say exactly what you mean, by building your vocabulary.
To see that program carried out, then we can achieve our goal by going before the council and making our demands explicit.
Club scene where I met Miss Green Eyes. She said, I can tell by the size of your schnoz that you're Zach Sherwin, and I'm totally twi. I said, oh, you're an Oz fan also? That's great, we have so much in common, we're clearly soulmates who are fated to date. She said, hold up, wait, I'm flattered, you're coming in too fast and hot though. You need to be more legato gelato. I said, what? Legato gelato? That's a slang term whose meaning I do not know, but I'm intrigued by the sound of it. She said, well, let me break it down a bit. You might know the word legato if you've ever studied music before. If you see it written down on a musical score, then the composer is directing you to play or sing all the notes smoothly and connected to the others, with no breaks in between. Now let me demonstrate a little bit, and you can see what I mean. She's saying la, 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 that's legato, not la, la, la. That's staccato, the opposite of what legato is. And don't tell me that you don't know what gelato is. I said, yes, I sure do. It's a dessert that you gotta keep ice cold in the freezer. And now I'm no longer dazed and confused. Now I think I understand the phrase that you use. Does it mean keep it chill? She said, yup. I said, thought so. Smooth and cool. Legato gelato. Once again, it's legato gelato. Smooth like legato. Cool like gelato. It's my new catchphrase. It's my new buzzword. It's my new motto. Legato gelato. And check this out. Take the word legato. Now take the L and the G and switch the two spots and look what you've got. Whoa, legato turns into gelato. I said, okay, I'm taking things slow and I get the lingo. Can I give you a ring? No, she said, I don't think so. You came on too strong. I felt smothered and I need a lover man who won't let me have the upper hand. I said, nah, miss, you got it wrong. You're a character I made up for my Legato Gelato song. You don't exist if I don't imagine you. How about that for high status, boo? She says, damn, that was Legato Gelato. Way to step it up with that macho bravado. Take me home now, you wild stallion. But first do a victory lap rap as a finale, hun. I said, okay, I'm smooth and glossy and frosty as autumn in Oslo. When the temperature drops as low as the cost of shopping at Costco. Fluid and easy and keeping it cool like I'm eating a super gazpacho. Cause I do it Legato with a scoop of gelato.
Internships have been a source of controversy lately, as many are beginning to question whether interns deserve to be paid when fighting each other for their boss's amusement. Chad Williams has more.
Getting coffee, taking notes at meetings, beating each other senseless before crowds of cheering executives. The jobs of the intern aren't always glamorous, but many young people say that they're essential to getting ahead in a competitive job market.
I'm doing it for the experience. I feel like if I can make myself useful and win a lot of fights, they might keep me in mind if there's an opening.
Here at Slash Forward Marketing's New York office, unpaid interns like Lauren Hauer are given the opportunity to punch, kick, and choke one another in front of supervisors with years of experience in the fields they hope to go into themselves. But should interns be paid? Human resources managers like Amanda Duell don't think so. She says this is just how young people earn their place in today's corporate environment.
Our interns get real-world experience that looks great on their resume. And in return, we get a little extra help around the office and something fun to gamble on.
But more and more critics are saying that internships have grown exploitative. George Berman, a labor lawyer, says that while a certain amount of blood sport is permitted under federal wage laws, all internships must be primarily educational.
We're not saying that employers can't ask interns to stomp on someone's throat or make copies. But when interns do nothing all day but answer phones and close windows on each other's heads, they're just being taken advantage of.
The question of pay has grown more contentious as internships have popped up seemingly everywhere, from small businesses to major corporations, all the way up to the White House. Landing one of these coveted positions has become so competitive that just last year, an unpaid internship at Viacom drew over 10,000 applicants. But as lawsuits continue to crop up, will unpaid intern fights become a thing of the past? For now, at offices like Slash Forward, it looks like they're not going anywhere.
At the moment, I need experience more than I need money or 10 whole fingers, and I'm learning so much.
I couldn't be happier. I used to be an intern, now I'm a full-time employee, just like it's supposed to work.
Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds.
You know, the idea is that this is Socratic, but Nietzsche's the same way. It's like, it isn't about the answer. Nietzsche talks a lot about, like, why is truth held in such high esteem? Why is it that everyone's like, well, tell me the truth. What's the truth? Let's get to the truth of the matter. You can't handle the truth.
Mm-hmm.
All that sort of stuff. Why? Who cares? Why is truth of more value than nonsense or fiction? We love fiction. We love myth.
Yep.
Why is historical accuracy more important than the mythological components that teach us something? Those are questions that not a lot of people ask. Nobody questions why we think truth is so important. That's why Nietzsche is probably the smartest. Freud called him a man that you have such a penetrating understanding of your own mind and the human intellect that I cannot teach you anything. I can only learn from you.
Because he said, that, you told me that, that's when Nietzsche said, would you like to analyze me?
Yeah, and they did a psychoanalysis on him, yeah. And then at the end, I think Nietzsche, something, you know, this is all myth or something, but supposedly at the end of it, Nietzsche was like, well, great, this has been a waste of my time. Like, yeah. That was how quickly he was to, like, even the most brilliant psychologist in the world can't tell me anything about my own mind. Well, great, I guess back to the goddamn drawing board.
But see, even if that is a myth, I'm right there with you. You and I don't see the world exactly through the same lens. Yeah. I don't know what
but
my...
But similar, I think.
Somewhat similar, for sure. And I'm in a real place where I'm really valuing myth and nonsense as much as I am truth.
Well, that's why I know so much about giraffes.
I know, because it's absurd.
No, because why is that information any more important or less important than knowing about what's going on in Iraq?
Right. I suppose, wouldn't the argument be that you could mobilize or make a difference and have people stop dying?
And how many do?
So few.
So few. How many people read about it, feel bad, or ingest the information, or get angry, or have some reaction, and then make no action?
Right.
Is that better than me knowing that most giraffes' hooves are the size of dinner plates? Don't giggle. Or that they have the same amount of vertebrae as human beings? How far apart are we from giraffes? They're the tallest of all the land animals. you must know that I would rather know about. Look at the joy we're having now with that. Part of it is because it's nonsense, but also because it's just information that is much better than if I came on here like a lot of your guests and be like, here's the fucking problem. So the Democrats, you know, you gotta come over here. You're basically libertarian. If you go too far left, this country is bureaucracy. That it's just, it's the red tape that you can't even make it through because there's red tape before you can get to the red tape. Why? What does that do for anybody? No one listening is like, yay, you did it. Now I continue to not think about death and how soon that I should be evaluating how precious every single moment is and making a decision to make meaning instead of search for it. We only have one adjective for talking about death, and it's morbid, and it's never positive.
Right.
No one's ever like, hey, Steve, just want to tell you, I know you're taking off, see the family for the weekend, but just before you go, you're super morbid this week. I really appreciate it. Keep it morbid. You're bringing up death all the time, and it really helped us sort of remember that existence is fleeting, and we should really value every moment and question our own presuppositions. So keep it morbid all weekend long. Don't die, though. Just kidding. But think about it. I'm serious.
Mia Jaliza.
Floor.
Time is God, and we'll talk about that later.
What do you mean?
Well, it's a theory that Kate and I are working on. It's not ready to be, you know, outwardly. But we found out the time is God.
You don't have to present it to me. You can just...
It's the only thing that's truly omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent.
Time.
And it's benevolent because there is no bad or good within it. So it supersedes good and evil. So it's more powerful than God. Everything exists within it. Everything is measured by it.
Right.
You can't escape it. It's more powerful than anything else. Nothing can overcome it. Nothing is eternal.
A lot of people's idea of God is something that is outside of space-time.
But what is that? How can we even begin to understand that?
Myth.
And you just said a lot of people's ideas of God is something that's outside of time.
Yeah.
So you're still measuring God by it being outside of time.
In a thing that we don't understand, because how could we understand something outside of space and time?
Well, and then we get into the hubris of, like, you know, why are we so desperately searching for some, again, truth? Like, what is the truth of this? What is God? Is there a God?
Let me see your best, that's why. Let me see your best, that's why.
delicious.
Listen, belief is cheap, but faith is cheaper.
Faith is cheaper.
Yeah, because at least belief is subject to being cross-examined if you have the courage to do it. Which only two or three human beings to ever have lived have truly had that courage, absolutely.
What do you mean?
Well, Socrates and Nietzsche both had the courage to cross-examine their own faith, and then their belief, and then their belief in faith, and then why they were cross-examining themselves, and they sort of toppled into themselves. And my feeling is, and I'm still working on the film, but that nihilism and absurdism are two sides of the same coin. It's just one is there is no meaning, and so it tends towards pessimism, but it isn't, because pessimism is just a way of us describing, you know, being honest or realistic. And then pessimists who say that, anybody who's an optimist like me will go, well, yeah, of course a pessimist thinks they're being a realist. If they were really looking at their pessimism, they could see that they could be optimistic. I know all this is pretty complex, but it's just like, it's just, but absurdism.
Were you saying you're an optimist, or you're saying you're a pessimist?
I'm an absurdist. So an absurdist.
I thought when you said like me, I didn't understand.
Well, like I would be described as an optimist because every day I'm like, all right, let's do it this morning. What's going to happen? Are we doing the thing where we get in the shower and we only use the soap with two fingers for fun this time? And if it slips out, then there's no more washing. You have to get right out of the shower. That's the game. That's what we're doing today. But an absurdist then at least says, like, how ridiculous is it that I have to make up a little game with the soap in the shower, which is not even a thing that I do? It's choosing to sort of laugh at it. Just to laugh at the absurdity of it. And an absurdist, like Eugene Ionesco, doesn't need to be happy. I don't think Eugene Ionesco was happy. He's the philosopher that I was most influenced by, especially in high school. He's not like he was always scared of death. He couldn't release his death anxiety. He was like, how can I understand eternity when everything that I understand is within the scope of what isn't eternal? All that stuff. He wasn't like a happy dude necessarily, but at least he was in on the joke because he knew that he was making it.
Making it?
Making the joke. You can only truly be in on the joke if you're making the joke.
It's funny because when
that's my absurdism. That is Nietzsche's. That's my work after Nietzsche is like, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm tempted right now in this moment to be like, and I know that sounds pretentious, but it's like, why? Why? Because we live in a society that's like, if you act like an intellectual, and the word intellectual means that you're being pretentious if you're talking about. And we're also in a society where we're taught to shame ourselves for things that, like, what, like, Nietzsche thinks that humility and a lot of this, the idea of nobility and humility comes from nobles used to be aristocrats, noblemen. And so to be rich meant to be good and all the qualities that they had. And to have any qualities of a peasant meant to be bad. And that's what his book Beyond Good and Evil is about, is it's like our concept of good and evil are handed down from antiquated either Christian or Goth or even before that moralities, and we're still subscribing to them because faith is dangerous. Faith and the idea of God and like an eternal word, this is the Bible, never question it, that hinders progress for human beings. And until we're able to sort of cast off those shackles, we'll remain in a slave and master morality.
In a breathlessness, out of restlessness, by the time I caught up to freedom, I was out of breath. Grandma asked me what I'm running for. I answer, I'm out for the same thing the sun is sunning for, what mother's worth her youngins for, and some say Jesus coming for. For all I know, the earth is spinning slow. Sun's at half mast, cause masses ain't aglow. On bended knee, prostrate before an altered tree, I've made the forest suit me. Tables and chairs, papers and prayers, matter for a spirit, a metal ladder, a wooden cross, a plastic bottle of water, a mandala encased in glass, a spirit encased in flesh, sound from shaped hollows, the thickest of mucus released from heightened passion, a man that cries in his sleep, a truth that has gone out of fashion, a mode of expression, a paint-splattered wall, a carton of cigarettes, a bouquet of corpses, a dying forest, a nurtured garden, a privatized prison, a candle with a broken wick, a puddle that reflects the sun, a piece of paper with my name on it. I'm surrounded, I surrender all that I am. I have been all I have been, has been a long time coming. I am becoming all that I am. The spittle that surrounds the mouthpiece of the flute, unheard yet felt, a gathered wetness, a quiet moisture, sound trapped in a bubble, released into wind.
Wind fellows and land merchants, we are history's detergent. Water soluble light particles, articles of cleansing breath, articles amending death. These words are not tools of communication. They are shards of metal dropped from 8-story windows. There are waterfalls and gas leaks, aged thoughts rolled in tobacco leaf. The tools of a trade, barter's barred, barred of barters, catchphrases and misunderstandings. But they are not what I feel when I am alone, surrounded by everything and nothing. And there isn't a word, a phrase to be caught, a verse to be recited, a mantra to fill my being in those moments. I am a blankness, the contained center of an O, the pyramidic containment of an A. I stand in the middle of all that I have learned, all that I have memorized, all that I have known by heart, unable to reach any of it. There is no sadness, there is no bliss, it is a forgotten memory, a memorable escape route that only is found by not looking. There, in the spine of the dictionary, the words are worthless. They are a mere weight pressing against my thoughtlessness. But then, who else can speak of thoughtlessness with such confidence? Who else has learned to sling these ancient ideas like dead rats held by their tails so as not to infect this newly oiled skin? I can think of nothing heavier than an airplane. I can think of no greater conglomerate of steel and metal. I can think of nothing less likely to fly. There are no wings more weighted. I too have felt a heaviness, the stare of a man guessing at my being. Yes, I am homeless, a homeless man making offerings to the after future, sculpting rubber tree forests out of worn tires and shoe soles. A nation unified in exhale, a cloud of smoke, a native pipe ceremony, all the gathered cigarette butts piled in heaps, snow-covered mountains, lipstick smeared and shriveled, offerings to an afterworld, tattoo guns and plastic wrappers, broken zippers and dead-eyed dolls. It's all overwhelming me, oak and elming me. I have seen in a forest of myself, little books from tall trees. It matters not what this paper be made of. Give me notebooks made of human flesh, dried on steel hooks and nooses. Make uses of use, uses of us. It's all overwhelming me, oak and elming me. I've seeded a forest of myself, little books from tall trees. On bended knee, prostrate for an altar tree. I've made the forest suit me. Tables and chairs, papers and prayers, matter versus spirit. Through meditation, I program my heart to beat break beats and hum bass lines on exhalation.
Release. See, everybody is afraid because then it feels like it's collapsing on itself. There's no meaning, there's no foundation, there's nothing. It's like, just relax. Just relax. I think that's what meditation is kind of telling you. Just relax. Relax, guys. It's happening now. It's okay. This person's a crackhead, and that's their life, and it's not worse than yours because you're not, and you own an Acura, but it's leased, and your wife wishes that you drove something better, but you like your job, and you don't want to invest, and she feels like her next-door neighbor is investing. I don't know that that's better.
Yeah.
At least a meth head has those moments of being on meth and being like, yeah! It's fine! Like, that's why heroin, I'm sure, is such a popular drug. When I was in the hospital, they shot me in the neck with Dilaudid. Now, Dilaudid is the purest form. It's not even heroin. It's an opiate of the highest. It's the zenith of American drugs. If you've seen the movie Drugstore Cowboy, Dilaudid is the deal. Now, you can take it but through your mouth, which a lot of people do for surgery. Some people even get to shoot it. They shoot it into you if you had your knees removed, whatever. Removed. Usually
yeah.
Replaced.
Yeah.
I had my knees removed last week. It's great. They call me old noodle legs. So they used to call me in college. Sometimes they'll shoot your arm, but if you have brain surgery, they shoot in your neck, so it doesn't go through your heart and then to your brain. It just goes right into your brain. And I got to tell you, I get it with the heroin thing because heroin isn't even that fast. No one's shooting heroin into their neck. That's insane. But Dilaudid is clean enough that you can do it. And yeah, you do it. And I remember this weird, there's a moment where you consider everything. Everything's going wrong, all the things that are terrible, life and death, all these things. And then it just melts away, and there's just a feeling of euphoria, just a like, it is fine.
Release. Release.
The heavens said benevolent medicine man, reverend, peddling deliverance that resemble amphetamines too. The residents in the meadow were pestilence who developed a chemical dependence on pessimism. Now, is he is or is he ain't the most distinctive speaker seeping through your sleepy speakers? Yes, he is. Oh, yes, indeed. So distinguished, so clean, some people think he's out in the field. Ain't no secret, people, trust me. It's mostly hustling. It moves me upstream. I just focus on the guns. So he was posting and fussing. They both so unproductive. Suppose it ain't in my bloodstream. Let me pose this question. Ask anybody to send anybody. They'll tell you that the antibody to the petty potty mouth gossip is success or something. To be the best at something. And not to stress the dumbest. Cause you ain't missing nothing. You got to
motivate, accelerate, never wait. Know your way, throw away hate. Grow and make great of your older days. Elevate, concentrate. Get your focus straight. Aim, orchestrate, fate. Just motivate, accelerate, never wait. Show the way, no mistake. Take hold and shift shape. Live and motivate. Elevate, concentrate.
Astrologists, colleges, follow this through they metropolis. The dominant brown bomber, ominous beam, prominent, walking it mean, talking it clean. The scene, stalking it volcanic. Got your panic and false cannon and all way, all day. Outlandish bandits be slandering what we mastering, cause they can't catch us, they all pray for our downfall. Maybe one day, psych, you never get no balance if you're crooked, so play right, snake. A mind goosing on your storms, pooping through your bombs. Start the bomb, none, oncoming, one slot, on one, chopping your tomahawk. Drama hawk, long running, and rocking shit. So I'm on, all the Tom Thumb, and I'm King Kong Bunny. Strong thunder all summer long, keep on coming. Dawn, dusk, night, morning, I'll bust tight poems. Raw, just mic zoning, y'all with the right motivation.
Motivate, accelerate, never wait. Know your way, throw away hate. Grow and make great of your older days. Elevate, concentrate. Get your focus straight, aim, orchestrate, bait. Just motivate. Accelerate, never wait, show the way, no escape. Take hold and shift shape, live and motivate. Elevate, concentrate, get your focus straight, aim, orchestrate, fate.
And, you know, I am in a place where I mean, I've only done it twice or three times, but I do walk into traffic because I'm trying to write a movie about a guy who all of his power comes from not caring if he lives or dies. And everything that he does it because nothing matters. So instead of doing nothing, he does everything because all of it's meaningless. And that takes a lot. You know, the Nietzsche, the stuff that I'm reading, it's this thing right now, it's a stage he calls tunneling, which is where you break down all of your moral systems and you sort of break it down all the way to nihilism. And then once you face nihilism and accept it, only then can you overcome it and begin creating your own meaning.
Starting over.
Yeah, well, not even starting over, just starting. Because you didn't start when we all were born. People were just like, this is the way it is. You got to make money. If you have a family, then you should live in the suburbs. If the housing price is in the right place, you got to do a job. You got to make money. But also you want to do something that you're passionate about. If you're passionate about something and you're not successful according to the metrics of society, then you're not a successful person. So you should feel bad about that. But that's okay because there are plenty of opiates available. There's television. There's consumerism. There's all these different things. So you don't start over. You just start. And you can start at any point. You can start when you're a child if for some reason your parents are able to give you kind of almost a blank slate environment. Or you can start when you're 89 and you realize you're dying and you're told you have cancer and then you start going, well, wait a second, let me, as Nietzsche does, let me revalue my current valuations. Let me reevaluate all of my values.
Living legend, you can tell a friend. It wouldn't hurt you if this were you as the darkness spins around. Through the thick and thin, but now we win and we gon' win again. We're making music, making music in the very end.
We make music for the times to come. The type of rhymes that shine all up in your mind like the golden sun. Futuristic, mystic journey type of music. Making gypsy type of movements, moving fluid when we're doing it. The type of music that you plan when you running from the man. Steering wheelers and go hand and gas almost done. This pressure building type of music. You could lose it if you knew that it's clueless. My girl still trying to figure out who this is. See when the air is thick and the streets are charged. All that's needed is a spark to crash the collage of safety.
We melt and arise. Can really see how shaky your chances are to stop the new shit to not at all from fading.
Now I'm rolling out the carpet, pick the color of your liking. It's exciting when the writing is inviting and enticing. It's the icing on the cake. I ain't waiting with the fake. That means I'm celibate to the bullshit. I'm relevant and the coolest on the scene. To the hipster, I miss their impossible. Peeled off they trucker hats. Lucky is the officer for California music with the obstacles defeated. The author slash father of the daughters really need them. Excuse me, hippies, computer nerds, and gangsters. I'm thanking all of y'all, all aboard, get involved. This is nerd rap on steroids. It's the killjoy for the whack. Just practice and package and act it.
Perception, from the mind to the pen to the session. From the paper to the track, we connecting. Living legends, we stay, we plus, we get past us. Perception, from the mind to the pen to the session. From the paper to the track, we connecting. Living legends, we think, we plus, we get past us.
Step in when I pick my weapon, ricochet, Rottweiler bite to the neck in the session. Only question is who's next for a lesson. Scribe on a chalkboard with a sword, live and in person. It hurts in the ear tunnel to hear me cut the flow and survive. The puncture wound, consume the womb of a Pro Tools woman. Fucking and giving the dick, busting inside her without a condom. Create a new line, put it up for adoption when you rotate in your new ride. Nobody's there to stop you when you're confident from both sides of the frame. With an aim to stain the game with the blood and the sweat and the tears that I shed with my peers. Be here, make it clear, we never fear the future, cause the future's a day behind. You can catch the bus with us, I'm sitting backwards while the time.
I'm out the gate like Seabiscuit, free with it. Count this bar, others pay to see me lift it. Raise it up like slum, I made it up, baby, if it's yuck, I'm numb. Stinky, pinky, shrink me, shrunk me, done. You think we kinky, me thinky, you dumb. I run my mouth like the South runs a radio. Round the clock, dollar base heads daily grow. Backward, that's awkward, I observe. One with the earth, man, even when I'm on swerve. Towards the bull, headed for the course to pull you in, pull. What pull you in?
It's us again. Living legend, you can tell a friend. It wouldn't hurt you that this work you ask the dirt is still around. Through the thick and thin. But now we in and we gon' win again. We're making music, you in music, you the very best.
Yeah, you are rest fresh off the mid-city block. Heard some of y'all say we really ain't hot. I could give a bless in the inner city cop. Got my ass on a jet, iPod, fully stocked. I'm a P-I-M-P-3. Rhyme book steady screaming in my ear like, empty me. Into a whole click till I hear it go click pow. Here's a sick style, the sucker's trying to get down. And don't you get your ass up until I tell you to. Double L's the crew, without them initials, what? You couldn't make a call. These players couldn't ball, but most importantly, what? We couldn't do this for y'all.
Grits and bacon grease, cheese and eggs. Everything that looks good ain't as good as it's made. We can look behind the scenes and see it's only C-grade. Well, we way above average, so what more can I say? Well, about an album's worth of work to death and perk. To keep it on fresh, these jerks then took it off track. Take a look at where we at, and if you see him for the first time, then I'm tipping my hat. Boots is feeding for the first line. Just watch him react, dip dive, socialize. Stage dive, smoky eyes, hit it, pass it, get it. Classic, spit it, fit it, right up in your ear hole. Pure soul, or just as much as you can hold.
Perception, from the mind to the pen to the session. From the paper to the track, we connecting. Living legends, we think, we plus, we think that's us. Perception, from the mind to the pen to the session. From the paper to the track, we connecting. Living legends, we think, we plus, we think that's us.
It's us again. Living legends, you can tell a friend. It wouldn't hurt you that this work you ask of done. You're still around through the thick and thin. But now we in and we gon' win again. We're making music, you can use it in the very end.
Evaluation of values is really hard to do, because maybe some people listening are like, okay, well then I go do that. It's like, you really got to go do it. You got to be like,
It's like why, a 12-step program almost.
But there's, 12. That's so funny. That's how limited we are as humans. Get through 12 steps. Try 1,000, where the 1,000th step is questioning not only the 999th step, but all of the steps before it. And then on top of that, why you've initiated taking these steps. And on top of that, if taking them is good or bad or the right or wrong thing to do. And on top of that, what is right and wrong and what is good and bad. And on top of that, why do we ask questions like what is good and what is bad? It's just, it is a never end. It feels never ending. Mm. But it gets you to a place of nirvana, except you then have to keep questioning nirvana.
Very powerful stuff. What more do you want?
Lost in the cracks of the landslide. You saw me slipping on my blind side. I'm feeling lost, feeling tongue-tied. And now I'm frozen in your headlights. Deep in the haze of your love high. I used to soar on the live wire. I'm coming down from your supply. And I don't know if you can make right. I can't take it. But my days are my heart's not breaking. No one save me. I can't take it. If I ever wait, I lost you, baby. Earth keeps shaking. Oh, you let me down. I can't take it. But my days are my heart's not breaking. No one save me.
Muted. Muted.
Now, go find the others.com.
Yeah, man, I tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just go on there and point and click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.